Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
We are back in your lives. It is Inside Boxing Live, presented by PPV.com. Dan Cadobio, Chris Algieri, the 140-pound world champion of the world, rocking the PAL hat, fresh off a nice weekend in South Florida. We're trying to piece together where you were through Instagram stories. I didn't want to bother you because we're taking a little, I wouldn't say a hiatus, but we took the second half of last week off because there's just not much going on in the sport. So I know Sunday is your day. We're recording this on Monday, August 26th. Chris, where were you? Give it up.
Key West. South in Key West. Got to go to my guy, my favorite writer, Ernest Hemingway's house / museum.
Saw that.
Did my annual kind of, I guess, it's become a bit of a routine that I always buy a book in there. Even books I have. Like, I just buy another book just to kind of support, you know, the museum and keep that thing.
Will you read the book?
I will.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Where is my book?
Yeah. You think you're better than me because you read?
I mean, I've read most of his books, but I do like to read them again. Like A Call to Arms is just a fantastic read. So that's
amazing. Wow.
When we're on our way to Vegas, I'll probably crush one of those books.
Damn. He is the fighting collegian for a reason. This guy reads.
That's it.
How many fighters read?
There's definitely a handful of us. There's gotta be more than a couple.
There's one famous boxer who allegedly can't read, and he fought this past weekend. Yeah, I never said that. His friends close to him have said that. 50 Cent, not really a friend of his. We're talking about Floyd Mayweather, who fought John Gotti III. I wasn't planning on talking about that on this episode, but you know it wasn't a real fun event. You know it was kind of a whatever. When the biggest thing that made social media the next morning, because that's how I learned about it was him firing the referee in the second round, which is what you want from an exhibition. Like, if you went back and watched like Muhammad Ali exhibitions and all that, it's like part WWE, it's part boxing. But Floyd didn't like the ref, and he fired him, Donald Trump style apprentice. You're out. You're fired. And that's what was on every social media account on Sunday morning. Not anything to do with the fight. No melee like it was last time. It was Floyd still looking pretty good at age 50 or 47. Yeah. And then him firing a referee in an exhibition in Mexico City.
He's still fast, for one. Very, very fast. I was impressed with his speed. But yeah, I mean, firing the ref mid-match, that really speaks to the credibility of the contest.
Let you know who is in charge of this event, who's the boss of these exhibitions. It's the Floyd Show, and he's going to keep on doing them. And it's not the end. It's not the first exhibition. It won't be the last. I mean, this has been going on in the sport of boxing. It's one of the biggest traditions in boxing the exhibition of a star.
Floyd like almost never stopped fighting. Like, he's just went from exhibition to exhibition. He has one like every 6 months.
Right. And I'm talking about like going back to like the 70s, like George Foreman fighting 5 people in one night. Muhammad Ali fighting a freaking WWE.
Diggstown. Remember that movie?
Yes.
I think that was actually based on that George Foreman fighting 5 guys in one night thing.
Yeah, there's only a certain status of fighter that can do this. Pacquiao is now getting into the exhibition world. We'll talk about him later on. He might be getting into the legitimate world title discussion at 147 pounds. I know, it's absolutely nuts. But that's what's going on in boxing. That's what you get in late August. A Floyd Mayweather-John Gotti III second fight. Actually, August 26th is a date that always pops up on my phone when it feeds me the memories. This was the day of Mayweather versus McGregor in 2017. Usually not that many big fights at the end of the summer. This is the time where the organizers, the promoters know that people are getting together, they're having barbecues, they're getting the last bit of vacations out. So we're not doing any big fights. But that fight had to happen at a certain time, and it happened in late August. Mayweather-McGregor came up on my phone. I was there ringside. That was quite the spectacle. That was quite the build up. What an event that was.
Well, the build up, I think that was more, that was bigger than anything. I mean, the fight itself was kind of eh, but the build up was great. I mean, I remember flying around that time and hearing people on planes talking about that fight. Like, oh man, I don't know, McGregor can really punch. I think he can do it. And it was so funny because it used to piss off every boxer because they were like, you guys are so dumb. Like, this is literally not even a contest. This is not, yeah. It's not a real fight. It's not going to be close. It's not going to be difficult. Mayweather's going to play with him, and exactly what he did. But man, they had people tricked. People everywhere were like, he's got a chance, bro. I'm like, no, he doesn't.
Not me.
No,
I put money down on Mayweather 8 through 10, and he got him out of there in the 10th. But that, like, now what everyone is talking about, like you said, on planes, and is Jake Paul, Mike Tyson. I mean, yeah. That's the one that where you can't go, you know, I, especially me, as people look at me as the boxing guy, I can't go a day without someone asking me about that in public, or that's the next one.
It's great because no one asks me about it because they know that I'm going to tell them to shut the fuck up because
they don't want to hear, Chris, don't want to hear about that fight. That's November 15th, streaming live on Netflix. Let's get into it this week. Or show, I should say. We have a lot to get to. Shakur Stevenson made the news this past week. He makes it official. He signs a 2-fight deal with Matchroom. He's linked up with Eddie Hearn. He is fighting Joe Cardona in October. Then the plan is to fight Zepeda in the first quarter of 2025, then have their eyes set on a tank showdown summer of 2025. There's a lot to unpack here. Let's start with Shakur signing with Matchroom. I was a little skeptical at first. I know you were as well because we've talked about this on the show. There's no champs at 135 with Matchroom. There aren't many fighters on the Matchroom roster at 135 pounds, hence why they're bringing up a guy from 130 in Joe Cardona. But I came around on this deal once I heard that it's only a 2-fight deal. These are the types of deals fighters should be signing. Especially when you're at the status of Shakur Stevenson. You may not like him. You may not like his style. But he is a name in the sport. And he is not locked down for 6-7 fights. It's a 2-fight deal. And if you get Joe Cardona, which is a fight that no one really wants, but it's still going to be a decent fight, and we get Zepeda, which is going to be an outstanding fight, then he's out of that deal. And then he can look and assess the land. So I don't hate the deal. I think it's a good move for Shakur because he's definitely going to get paid because it's lining up with Turki Aşılık. So I'm fully against it because of the length of the deal, only being a 2-fight deal for Shakur.
Yeah, that's a great point, Dan. I think you're right. I think at the stage of where Shakur's at in his career, it should only be like that. And that's usually what big time guys do when they still do actually need promoters until they get to the Floyd Mayweather, Oscar De La Hoya route or position. But I'm still skeptical about this. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised. I don't know, like, because Matchroom signs Ennis and Eddie goes out there and kind of on the arm helps to promote Terrence Crawford quite a bit during that Riyadh card, really like upping the eyes that are on him, saying amazing things about him and his character and getting people to be, you know, a little more tuned in. And then you got Shakur, they announced he's fighting Cordina. Well, duh, duh, he's signing with Matchroom, right? I don't know why a lot of people didn't put this together sooner. But yeah, it's tough with the weight classes. You're bringing up a 30 pounder in Cordina. Zepeda's with Golden Boy, and Oscar and Eddie don't work that well together. So
yeah, but they will because of Turki.
They will because of Turki, but will they though? Will they really make this fight happen? That's so Eddie has put himself in a position now. He's really got to come up with something. Like if he can't make this Zepeda fight, that's going to hurt his business. Because look what's going on with Ennis. He signs Ennis. His first fight, yeah, he brings him home, but he fights Avanesian. Nobody's really excited about that. And his next fight, he's fighting a rematch with Kuzajian.
Oh, he better not. Is that the latest? I didn't even see that.
Oh, you didn't see that? Oh, yeah, no. He's supposed to fight
Karen. I know that Karen is rated pretty highly, and he's like probably, I mean, in line to fight him. We don't need to see that fight again.
That's the fight that they're talking about right now, and that they couldn't step aside. So
I saw Stanionis going back and forth with Eddie on Twitter.
I like that. Get Stanionis in the mix, please. That poor guy. But Eddie, I feel like Eddie is really putting his own back against the wall where he's going to have to really produce. Not saying that he can't, but he's getting into a position with both of these fighters, who are two of the biggest name guys, recent signees. He's got to produce for them. He's Ennis, you haven't done really anything for, and you were now on a second fight of this deal. And then Shakur, your first fight's not really doing anything for anybody, but the second fight, you're promising big, big fighters and a big name. You got to make that happen.
Yeah, I think that's what Eddie is all about. I mean, that's what he's, that's why he lures these fighters in. He flirts with them, and then he promises them the world. I could make the fights happen that your past promoter can't. In this case, it was Bob Arum. And with Ennis, it was the case of working with PBC and the guys over there, even though I think Ennis did pretty good for himself, considering no one really wanted to fight him on the PBC side of things. Yeah, I agree. With Eddie, we're going to see what Eddie's all made of, because Matchroom USA has been in business for several years now. Remember, they signed Devin Haney. They tried to poach a lot of fighters away from the PBC, and it didn't work. The Haney deal, I think, overall was probably a net loss for Matchroom USA. And now they have two of the bigger stars of the sport. Jerron Ennis is certainly on his way to becoming pound-for-pound top five fighter. Shakur Stevenson is in the top 10-ish, top 15-ish, where depends on his performance and what have you done for me lately. So now he's with Eddie Hearn for at least two fights. Doesn't mean that Shakur and Hearn can't work together past the two fights. But the Cordina fight, we can talk about that now, is interesting because Cordina's coming off of a loss to Anthony Cassis. He did not look good, a TKO loss. From everything I've heard, and everything I'm seeing, and some fans chiming in, oh, Cordina never really belonged at 130 towards the end. You know, he had to go to 135. He had a horrible weight cut for that fight. He wasn't in it, blah, 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 blah. It's not really a fight that fans are clamoring for, Cordina versus Shakur. Is it a fine fight? Yeah. But if they're dangling Zepeda as the next fight, and apparently Zepeda wanted nothing to do with it now. I think he had a kid or something, and he wants to push it to February of next year. But one other thing too that annoys me, Chris, is like, why are we building towards a Shakur Zepeda fight? Like, it's a good fight, but it's not something we need to have a build towards. It's not something we need to like dangle over fans' heads. That's the fight that should be happening right now. It should be Shakur Zepeda right now, and then the winner will see Tank. But your initial thoughts about Joe Cordina coming off of a TKO loss, now going to 135 and trying to fight one of the best pound for pound fighters in the world.
Even before that, great point about we don't really need to be building Zepeda. That fight should be already booked. That should be on the next step. That's a really good point, Danny. And if we allow promoters to control the narrative that we're building to things that don't necessarily need to be building, it's not a good idea. It's not a good thing for the fans. But great point. In terms of Cordina, this fight does nothing for me. I don't think it does anything for anybody. And it's first time fighting at 35. Moving up after a bad loss. He got beat up in that fight. Took a lot of damage. Coming back first fight. Yeah, you want to blame the weight. You want to do whatever. Okay, that's fine. We're still talking about Shakur Stevenson. We're still talking about, you know, one of the pound-for-pound best fighters around. And just an absolute defensive wizard who's so good at completely disarming even world-class guys. I don't see how this fight really does anything. And not for nothing, Joe Cordina is not known over here either. So it's not like it's a name guy, you know, it's not like Floyd fighting Arturo Gatti. Yeah, Arturo didn't stand a chance, but it got a lot of eyes on it. You know, right. Joe, I don't think stands a chance, but also he's not going to get a lot of eyes over on it over here. And maybe,
well, it's in Saudi Arabia. I mean, that's another thing too, just to go back a few points, like Eddie signs Shakur, who has a very good fan base here on the East Coast. Like, he'll put 8,000 to 10,000 in the Prudential Center. Mm-hmm. Jerron Ennis will put 15,000 in Philly. This fight's in Saudi Arabia. This fight is on the undercard of Better Be of.
It's a filler fight, so, dude. It's a filler fight.
It's a filler fight, but it's a money. Like, that's what it is. Like, we know that Shakur was getting, he turned down that what was he getting? Going to get 5 million per fight or 3 million per fight for 5 deals.
5 fight deal, 3 million 15 total, but also it's going to be different price ranges for bigger fights, obviously.
There you go. Thank you, Chris. So therefore, Eddie had to come with something higher, and Turkey probably fit the difference. So it's very clear. Shakur is fighting Joe Cordina in Saudi Arabia because he's getting paid, which you can't fault him for that. Like, 100%, Shakur. Like, go get as much money as you possibly can. But I don't know how this is going to help you build towards, you know, erasing some of your past performances and help build towards you eventually beating Tank Davis, because that's what I think all roads lead to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's that's the only thing anyone really wants, you know. So that's why I think, especially with this fight, they're just gonna look past it. But like you said, it's a Phil fight. You got Shakur on the roster now. You're giving him a guy, he's, you know, a former world champion, a name guy, and then you just move on to the next one. It's just hopefully the next one's big.
2022, this fight whets my appetite, because in 2022, Joe Cardona was a champion at 130, and so was Shakur. This was a unification that we all wanted to see, especially after that big knockout win. Joe Cardona had that one-punch KO over Ogawa, which literally came out of nowhere, because
in hindsight, is really out of nowhere. He has not been that kind of puncher ever since, was never that before that. It was like such an anomaly, that shot.
Makes you think, really. Yeah, you can make your own conclusions there. But he is now teamed up with Joe Cardona with Ben Davison, who's on a heater, who's with Anthony Joshua. Ben Davison, Lee Wiley combination. Lee Wiley is the guy that studies tape like crazy, can break down the nuances of boxing, and they got a good thing going, Davison and Lee Wiley. I like Davison too. He's a cool dude. Always DMs me for stats. He's a big CompuBox guy. Yeah, he's awesome. And yeah, got that going for him, Cardona. He's going to have his work cut out for him because he's not a puncher. He's got a new trainer, so hopefully they can work out some style changes. Is he going to fight on the outside? You're not going to beat Shakur Stevenson fighting on the outside. Is he a physical fighter, Joe Cardona? No. How the hell is Joe Cardona beating Shakur Stevenson?
Shakur's going to be bigger, physically stronger, sharper. Obviously, the defense is there. But the good thing is that he has Ben Davison. And yes, it takes time for a fighter-trainer relationship to meld. And usually takes a couple fights and a couple camps. But I think Ben is smart enough and good enough to literally pick specific techniques and specific moves to make the fight make the adjustment very, very quickly. So you listen, at this level, you got one good move that works once or twice during a big fight. It matters a lot, and you can really level the playing field. So if Ben can enact something like that using his high boxing IQ training style, you know, they might be able to figure something out. But I don't know. I think it's definitely a hill too steep to climb. Shakur Stevenson.
Yeah, not only like win a couple rounds, four rounds would be impressive for me. Five rounds. But Davison, like, one thing he has experience in is joining an already successful fighter, which is not easy to do. And you're right. So he got Joshua at age 32, 33, and was able to hone in the best parts about Joshua.
I think with Joshua, though, that one's a little bit different because I think it's more mental. I think Joshua has every tool in the box necessary. He's the size, the athleticism, the technique, the background, the amateur experience, all of it, the world class experience with world title fights, the 12 rounds under his belt. He just needed a confidence boost, and it seems to me, even from just my talking with Davidson, he just knows how to talk to fighters. He knows how to speak the language in a way where he's not talking down at you. He's talking with you. He's not working, you know, he's not even necessarily working for you. He's working with you. And I think that really matters. And when you have that kind of communication, then you can see those adjustments happen overnight.
It's interesting too, because he's never fought before. I never interviewed him once and asked, you know, he's like a soccer guy. I think he has a background in playing football over there. And then he kind of burst on the scene with Fury.
Yeah.
He kind of helped Fury get through the demons and lose the weight and then get ready for that little run he had up until the first Wilder fight. And then Fury sacked him for Sugar Stewart. He kind of burst on the scene. And then he's kind of stuck here now. And he's stuck with boxing. And he's a real asset. And we'll see what Cardona.
He's super young too, right? I think he's my age or even a little younger.
No, he's younger. He's in his like mid 30s. He's going to be around for a while.
He's close to your age.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm 26 years old. Yep. No, I'm not.
Old man Dan.
Let's go. I might be back in the John Boy warehouse.
They're bringing out old man Dan and bringing him back.
I had to negotiate a new a 1 week contract. I could be appearing once again.
You know it is. They saw you working out, and they were like, whoa, this guy.
They've seen my Instagram stories.
This guy's back in the gym. Maybe we can pull him back into the because you were having some problems back then. Your body was breaking down.
Yes,
when you were
was.
Playing. It was breaking
it's
down.
Still
I remember
going
you
to break down.
A lot, but you weren't doing the strength training. Now you've got that resistance training, which is gonna, you know, for olding aging athletes, that's really important to make sure you're doing the work in the weight room. They see that now and they're like, hey, we can get a couple more seasons out of this guy.
I'm not not that anyone cares, but I am curious to see how I will perform in blitzball after like getting myself into better shape and like actually working out, actually like doing cardio. Like I was playing those past tournaments off of nothing, like literally just muscle memory and me just like old man strength and just being like, I'm tougher than these kids. I'll play 5 days in a row and I won't complain about my lower back being
I'm not going to say it on here, but fans at home, we have a very vulgar saying for our name for the games that they play.
No, actually, blitzball is the best one. Some of the other ones were. If those of those who don't know, go check out the warehouse games on YouTube.
No, they're super fun and hilarious. Like it's a lot of fun.
I got out of there when they were. I left John Boy when they were starting to get into expand it outside of just blitzball. And that's when it was starting to get a little hairy. But blitzball is my game. Where were we? The lightweight plan. So a plan has been being formulated by Eddie Hearn, of course. He always has a plan. This is how he gets these fighters to go. The lightweight division, we all want to see these guys unify. Lomachenko has a belt with the IBF, and he's with Top Rank. Baranchik has a belt, and he's with K2 and slightly with Top Rank. Shakur has a belt, and he is now with Matchroom. And Tank has a belt, and he's with PBC/ Tom Brown Promotions. That's not a great thing for the sport, because when you have four champions – with four different promoters, you're very unlikely to see them all unify. But Eddie is now putting together a master plan, and I kind of like this plan. Will it play out? We'll see. Shakur versus Cordina, fine, whatever. It's going to happen October 12th on this Bivol Better BF card. Tank is fighting November 2nd. We don't know who he's fighting against. Jose Valenzuela is being rumored. Is that going to be at 140? Is Tank going to stay at 135? Can he find a 135-pounder? For the end of the year, that's intriguing. We'll see. Then the first half of 2025, Chris, Tank versus Loma, Shakur versus Zepeda, which were being they're dangling over our heads. Shakur versus Zepeda, winners face off. We might not get a full undisputed fight because Baranchik is the odd man out with that title and not a big profile. But if all roads lead to Shakur versus Tank in the summer of 2025 with this plan, with Tank fighting Lomachenko. With Shakur fighting Zepeda. Okay, that's an intriguing little plan for the next 12 months in the lightweight division.
Is it too soon to start praying? Can I go get my rosary?
Get your rosary.
Get my rosary out and just start doing Hail Marys every night to make sure that this plan actually happens.
What a plan, though.
It's a great plan. It sounds awesome. I love it. Making all that happen as a whole nother thing. We'll see.
Do you think it's that far-fetched though? Like Shakur,
no, it shouldn't be, Dan, at all. It really shouldn't be. We've been in this sport long enough, and I'm feeling pessimistic on this Monday morning because
part about it makes you feel the most pessimistic? Tank Loma has to happen, but it would be a intriguing unification match. We're supposed to get it in November. Like is that the part that kind of gives you the most pause?
No, I got a little bit of trepidation with every part of it, actually. Like that fight, making Loma and Tank, which I love that fight. I've been saying I like that fight. Is it the best time when the matchup would be its best? No, but I think I would favor Tank in that fight. But I think it's still a very intriguing fight and a fun fight. I think that's actually one of the better fights that could be made in terms of entertainment value. And then obviously Shakur and Tank. But what's going to happen, you know, in between with that Shakur and Zepeda fight? You know, that's important. There's a lot of moving parts with a bunch of different promoters and a lot of egos and a lot of negotiating. I've been in these negotiations. They're brutal and nobody wants to give an inch. It's literally the fight before the fight, especially when you got two, you know, warring promoters. I don't know. It's just a lot of moving parts. It makes me uncomfortable. One that we didn't mention, you mentioned Baranchik. I'm feeling like there's going to be a Keyshawn Davis Baranchik fight very soon. That seems to be the way I would assume that Top Rank's moving, because they just announced Keyshawn's next fight, a very, very tough fight. Super impressive that he's fighting Lemos. Lemos is the one that gave Richardson Hitchens hell at 140.
Love that fight.
This guy's, he got signed by Top Rank recently. They moving him back down to 135 to fight Keyshawn Davis. When I heard that, I was like, damn, they really think this kid is ready. This is because Lemos is world class. That's a very, very tough fight. You get past him, put him in a title fight. Keyshawn deserves it. He beats up Lemos. I want to see him with Baranchuk next.
No offense to Baranchuk. He's just, I mean, look at the names that we're throwing around.
No offense
here
at all.
But good for him. Like, he's going to get his payday. Good for, his whole team. Like, he's holding a big piece, and his big piece is a title. I mean, this was supposed to be Navarrete, and Baranchuk came in and upset the apple cart and ripped up all the plans that Top Rank had. So Top Rank goes to plan B. It's like, oh, what's our next guy in the pipeline? Oh, it's Keyshawn Davis, who we've been nurturing and who we've been molding to this point right here. I would love to see Keyshawn get in the mix with these names. Will Keyshawn ever fight Shakur Stevenson? That's a whole nother big issue because they're friends. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. But to go back to the point where you were feeling uncomfortable about this lightweight plan, if you break it down just piece by piece and not look at the full picture, because the full picture is pretty overwhelming. We're looking for a year away. Nothing ever goes to plan in boxing. But if Shakur beats Cordina, which he will, Tank fights in November and wins, which he should. That covers that part. The Tank versus Loma fight was pretty much ready to go until Loma pulled out of nowhere and said, I'm not ready, this, that, and the other. That fight right there, they can just go back to that paperwork that they have between PBC, Tom Brown, Top Rank, going swimmingly from everything I heard. Okay, that's intriguing for, let's say, February, March, or even April of next year. So we got that covered. Shakur and Zepeda is being promised to us and is being dangled and is being marinated with the help of Turkey with Eddie and Shakur. So that should happen around the same time Tank Loma should happen. And they should all get through those fights. Shakur should beat Zepeda. Tank should beat Loma. Winners face off in a year from now, in the summer of 2025. We are in Las Vegas for Shakur versus Tank Davis. Does that make you feel any less? Does it make you feel more comfortable, I should say?
No. I'm feeling very pessimistic on this Monday morning, man. I'm looking for my rosary beads. I don't keep them in this room. Maybe I should. They definitely should. When we do,
wear them to Vegas.
I should be wearing them all the time whenever I'm talking about boxing, because there's a lot of great opportunities that could be occurring, but we tend to fall in ditches right before they happen. So we'll see what happens.
I like the plan, and if it comes, materializes, these are some fun names, and that's what like Tank wants and needs, because Tank is saying, you know, I'm 30 years old, I'm focused, I need the biggest names. It's unfortunate that Shakur and Tank are not fighting next, because this was ready to go. Shakur's a free agent, and you could went right to PBC. I don't know what happened there. Don't even want to start to think what happened with Shakur. In these negotiations, is obviously Eddie swooped in, and we can still get it next summer. I don't think it needs a build, but here we are. The full October 12th card was announced, Chris. Bivol, Better Beev, obviously, is the main event. I'm feeling a lot more optimistic about that fight happening, because we're seeing more. We have a full card announced. We're seeing more workout videos. We knew it was going to happen, but we were still feeling a little pessimistic because of Better Beev's health history. But that's the main event, of course. Shakur Cordina is a perfectly fine co-main event underneath Frazier Clark, Fabio Wardley 2, which is going to be a banger. Their first fight was nuts.
Fun fight.
Chris Eubank versus Camille Zaremeta, who famously fought Triple G. Ben Whitaker in his antics and his Bugs Bunny style is fighting. And then the first women's fight in Saudi Arabia, women's title fight, is Skye Nicholson on this card as well. So a fun card. I wouldn't say loaded, but you could have put me versus John Boy Media Group underneath Better Beev Bivol, and people would have watched, because everyone is tuning in to watch Bivol Better Beev. Whatever we get underneath that, I feel like is an added bonus. That's a fun card.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a fun card. It's going to be a long card again, and there's going to be the gripes about that. But the top of the ticket is so damn good, and we got Shakur on his new deal. I think there's going to be a lot of cool lead-ups to that fight. Because Matchroom, I think at this point of the game, I think they do the best marketing lead-ups. They do those great video vignettes and background stories. I think they do a really good job of increasing the market value of the fighters, getting more eyes on them. It's kind of a throwback. Like HBO, you see the long form. Like, long form's dead. But I think Matchroom is the only one that does longer format stuff like that, which helps introduce the athletes to the fans. We saw that with Jaron Ennis, you know, bringing him home, like old school, bringing it to your hometown, bring it back to Philly. Like, we need to do more of that. Top Rank does that. They've mastered that. But you're seeing Matchroom USA is starting to do that as well. Obviously, bringing this fight to Riyadh, you know, to Saudi is not, you know, it's very different in that sense. But yeah. I think they're going to have a good rollout for Shakur and the lead up that I think is going to introduce him to a broader fan base. And yeah, I mean, card wise, awesome. Going to get a ton of eyes. Not a lot of butts in seats, but a lot of eyes.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe Bivol will bring out the Fury Usyk rematch had one of the better atmospheres. Maybe they'll try to figure out what they did for that one and try to make it work for Better Be with Bivol, which no, well, it, probably
you
won't
know,
work.
You know what's interesting, Dan, is it going to bring out a lot of Russians?
I don't know.
I mean, you got two Russian fighters in the main event.
That's some geopolitical stuff that I am not privy to at the moment.
Yeah, so like that's my thought. I'm like, how do they think about all that? How does that?
No one's going to be there. The atmosphere is not going to be great, but the fight's going to be awesome.
There's going to be Russian oligarchs flying around in like blimps, circling the arena
with freaking high powered telescopes watching the fight. Whatever, we're going to be watching and we're going to be loving that fight as we get closer to Bivol Better BF. But it's perfectly fine card. Will it be long? Yeah, that's what it is. But there is a lot of talk and a lot of rumblings about how long these cards are and what could be changed. And I wonder if any of that's getting back to Turkey. You know, a lot of he's reading more media, he's doing more media. I wonder if he's reading some of the stuff, like our friend Eric Raskin wrote that really great piece, kind of saying, you know, these are fun, but they're too long and you could break them up into two different nights. You can break them up, you know, three fights on Free DAZN, three fights on the pay-per-view. We'll see if, Turkey listens, because, there definitely is some fine tuning that could be done. Yeah,
absolutely. And Dan, I think I know your answer, but, my issue isn't so much how long they are, it's how late they are on the East Coast.
And oh, I hate the late, bro.
If they weren't as late and it was Saturday, if it was all day Saturday afternoon, I'm fine. I know you're fine too. We're big boxing nerds. Our weekend is centered around fights. So if I have to sit from noon until midnight watching fights, I'm okay with that. But
this
might
be at noon.
But most people are not like that. Most people are not like that. 99% of people are not like that. You and I are like that. The problem is when the main event walks at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, that was the California one. I think we're good with this one then.
My brain was broken. Like I was like, I can't even watch this fight at this point. Like, what are we doing?
It's true though. It is true. My brain was broken too. And
like it was so boxinged out by the time I got to a main event, which then became a chess match. It was really difficult to really hone in at that point.
You're right, bro. It's rough.
But this fight, it's going to be in the afternoon, which I love. I love the afternoon Saudi cards when I can sit outside on my porch and watch seven fights in a row and just hang out and barbecue and walk around and chill out.
That sounds sick. That's awesome. And that's what we're going to get September 21st, too, because that's Joshua Dubois in Wembley. So that should be another afternoon offering for us here in the States.
And a good fight.
And a great atmosphere. So those are the next couple of... Turkey cards is October 12th, September 21st, and then I'm sure they're gonna add more. December 21st is Fury Usyk, which I don't know why, for some reason, like when they say that, like when Turkey says December 21st, I just like don't believe it. And then because they move him around and it's Fury, but he kind of resurfaced. He was floating in a pool, said work hard, play hard. So Fury has emerged.
Don't play too hard,
whatever.
Don't play too hard. We know how you play. Just keep working.
Especially after making that, he probably made $100 million off that Usyk fight, and he's probably going to make something similar for the next one. That's the upcoming big Turkey cards. So I want to end the last segment of the show talking about a very interesting story that our friend Alan Dawson wrote for World Boxing News, and it was centered around PBC's big plans for the remainder of the year. PBC is now aligned with Prime Video. They've done a few pay-per-views. Their last pay-per-view was back in June. Gervonta Davis, David Benavidez doubleheader. Their next pay-per-view will be Canelo Alvarez versus Edgar Belanga, which you can stream live on PPV.com. No subscriptions. We love PPV.com. That's where you're going to want to watch that one. But this story was interesting for a number of reasons. Very thorough. It was over 2,000 words, and I read all of them. Very thorough reporting. But from September to December, according to this article, PBC expects to put together at least 4, possibly 5 events. 2 to 3 of them will be regular Prime Video offerings. So if you're a Prime Video subscriber, you're getting 2 to 3 fight nights, one of which should be October 19th, Tim Zhu, in a title fight at 154 pounds. Then there will be some other pay-per-views mixed in, like Canelo Alvarez, Tank Davis, Errol Spence, they're talking about as well. But one of the more interesting pieces of this article, Chris, was that Al Haymon was kind of out of the picture for a few months this year due to a family emergency, apparently turned off his phone. I heard some rumblings about this behind the scenes. Luis de Cubas, Tom Brown were running the show with help from Al Haymon. He's back in the mix. So when Al Heyman's back in the mix, he's very hands-on. I think a lot of fans know that. So we should be seeing a big-time rollout here from PBC. 5 events, 2 or 3 might be on Prime. More pay-per-views. Pacquiao is supposed to be in the mix. Errol Spence, Tim Zhu, Toronto Davis. I think it's good. When PBC is at their best, it's just another arm of fights. And these are fun, attractive fights as well.
No, this is great news. I mean, because PBC is a major, major player. I mean, we always talk about, you know, the rollout and the death of Showtime, and then there was a rollout of Prime. If we remember that last year of Showtime, Dan, which wasn't that long ago, becomes ancient history in boxing because our timelines move so fast. That was a fantastic year of fights. Those shows were awesome. So
they were the broadcaster of the year last year. Our award show.
And then, so PBC has this Amazon rollout, and it just didn't go well. It wasn't as expected, and we kind of pushed them to the wayside. Like, all right, we got other shows that are going on. This news of them coming back is huge. Now we have another major player that can put on high-level fights. That's what we need. We need high-level fights. You know, it was nice that we had Turkey come in, and he's still there, of course. But having PBC as another major player, giving us bigger, better fights, bigger, better shows, and I love the mixed media idea of paid and not paid. You've got some, if you have the Amazon subscription, boom, you can watch a quote unquote free fight. If there's a pay-per-view you add on top of it, sure, there's always going to be that just because of the nature of the sport at the moment. But there has to be more free, viable stuff out there, especially for subscription owners. So good move, good news. Hopefully it's all true because this is boxing. But but interesting, definitely interesting article.
Yeah, Steven Espinosa was quoted in the article, and he's been doing a lot of interviews. He is an advisor for PBC now, formerly Showtime Sports president, and said, you know, you got to be patient. You know, this is our first year of a deal with Amazon. It's a multi-year deal with NFL. You know the schedule 6 months in advance. Amazon works with NFL. They do Thursday Night Football, which is just a behemoth. With boxing, you don't. You don't know the schedule. You don't know the schedule up until maybe a month or 8 weeks before a big-time fight, whether it's Canelo. Well, you kind of know Canelo's schedule, but other than that, like Tank is now fighting in November. That's usually not when he fights, but they're starting to get into a rhythm now, he says. They're starting to figure out what they want and what they don't want, PBC and Amazon. There's supposedly a second broadcast deal that they've been floating about too. So in addition to Amazon, PBC could be working with another network, and that's desperately needed because, you know, PBC has a lot of fighters, and a lot of their fighters are inactive simply because they don't have dates.
Right.
I mean, there's just not enough to go around. I mean, there's only been 3 PBC events this year, where in the past they've put on, they were the leader. They were outpacing everyone. So if there's another network in the mix, I think that's really, really important, especially from the fighter standpoint, which we care about, is getting these guys active, getting them on another network, which Al Haymon is very, very good at. You know that, Chris. You fought on a lot of these cards, whether it was Spike TV, whether it was NBC Sports, Showtime, HBO. I mean, the thing with PBC is they've worked with every single network in the game. So that right there is one of the bigger parts of the story, is
Al's
getting that
closer,
second
man.
Broadcast
Al
deal.
Al's a deal closer. He gets the job done.
Absolutely. I mean, you can say what you want about Al Haymon. He's one of the most, outside. Now Turkey's kind of taken over as a polarizing figure, but Haymon is still super powerful. This guy was running boxing for 10 years, and now he's back in the mix. Part of the story had some interesting stuff. Canelo in September, we know that, versus Berlanga. Gervonta in November, we know that. We just don't know who he's fighting. Tim Zhu on regular Prime, which is October 19th. the wild card of this, which is something we talked earlier on this episode, is Pacquiao versus Mario Barrios is being talked about in December. Not an exhibition. Pacquiao at age 45 going up against Mario Barrios for a piece of the welterweight title. This is something that is being discussed, according to this article at PBC. Representative said it is being discussed for December, possibly a doubleheader with Benavidez, possibly a doubleheader Pacquiao Barrios with Spence and Fundora, which is another fight that's going to materialize soon. We'll start with Pacquiao Barrios. You can't be a big fan of this.
No, look at my face. I don't know. Guys, we just saw him get beat up by a kickboxer. What are we doing?
Exhibition, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't look good. He didn't look good in that fight. And
big guy, too, like Barrios.
Wasn't taking punches well. That was the most shook I ever saw him getting hit with shots. It's not healthy. It's not fair. It's not fair because you're now having a guy who's literally coming off the couch, hasn't fought in 2.5 years at 40, whatever many years old, and just steps right into a title fight. What about all the guys? The weight class has a ton of young guys who've been working for these opportunities, and Pacquiao can just walk right into a title fight. That's crazy to me. But I don't like this fight. I think it's it hurts the credibility of championships. It hurts the credibility of rankings. It hurts the credibility of the sport because we got a guy who is putting himself in danger to go out there. And listen, that's on him. He can do that. But I don't think you should be able to step right into a high level profile fight. I always think of George Foreman when his comebacks. He fought all the way up. He had like 20 comeback fights. He was bringing himself to the position to actually earn a title shot and then win the title shot. This is the exact opposite of that. You're just stepping right in because of your name recognition, and that's BS.
Yeah. I mean, it's a way different sport when Foreman was coming around. There wasn't as much urgency. There wasn't social media, so Foreman could fight 8 or 9, I think 10 times in 1 year on the comeback trail, and it wasn't as much of a business as it is today, where you hear Pacquiao's name, the name recognition of Pacquiao. Well, let's put him in a pay-per-view at the end of the year. Let's put him on a doubleheader with either Benavidez or Spence, and let's look at it from a business standpoint. It's interesting. It's definitely being discussed. I thought it was going to be poo-pooed after Pacquiao's how he looked in that exhibition, but apparently not. But I do like Spence Fundora.
Like that fight.
I do like Benavidez getting back in the mix at 175, and I wouldn't say he's on like a comeback, but he's not getting Bivol or Beterbiev next, and he's not getting Canelo. So let's keep seeing him mature in front of our eyes at 175, put him as a co-main event, whether it's to Pacquiao Barrios or whether it's to Spence Fundora. Like that plan.
Love that plan. Love those fights. I'm curious to see what Spence could do at 54. You know, obviously, his last time we saw him was a year and a half ago, and he got bludgeoned by Crawford. But I think at 54, not killing himself like 47, and in those kind of matchups that are there, I mean, Fundora is probably the best one for him. I think just stylistically, there's a lot of openings. But Fundora is fun with anybody, and there's a lot of names at 54. 54 has all of a sudden like become super deep. You've got so many top fighters there.
Fundora's it's been a sneaky good division for like the last 10 years.
Yeah, but now it's like really good. And you got guys that there's budding stars all over that weight class. Like, and they're all young. So in between Virgil Ortiz, Bohochek now is a player. He looked fantastic against Ortiz. Tim Zhu is a star. Fundora is a fun guy. You know, he fights fun. His fights are fun. He looks crazy because he's so tall. He's talented. He's tough as hell. Spence is back. He's one of the old heads in the division. Crawford's there, but he's kind of hovers above anywhere he's at. So we got a lot of, and then now we got Madrimov, who just came in to showed up that he's an excellent
Conwell
fighter as well. Conwell, who I want to see him mixed in with these guys as well. I don't think he's quite at that level, but you don't know until you know. So put him in the mix. He's undefeated. You know, Boots will be joining soon. Yeah, I believe. I think he's going to be struggling to stay at 47 for much longer than he's at.
I also think Boots is going to look around at the landscape at 147 and just
the
be
names
like,
that he wants aren't going to be there. But
no, and what are we waiting for here?
He's got the ability to unify. The ability to unify. I mean, if he can,
he could. They're trying. Stanny Onis, Brian Norman.
Man. 147 is one of the most iconic weight classes there is. To unify that is a big deal.
I think that's what they're going for.
I wouldn't want to see him leave that weight class without unifying.
I think that's what they're going for, and that's what Hearn has been pretty vocal about, is getting boots a unification, whether it's Barrios seems to be interlocked with Pacquiao, but Barrios boots, Brian Norman boots, Stanionis boots. I'd love to see one of those fights materialize next, and then Boots can figure out what's going on at 154. But I was really encouraged by this story. Really good job by Alan Dawson putting together 2,000 words. He's an awesome guy. Go follow him on social media. He does good work. I just also think it's like a non-Turkey enterprise. PBC is still trying is still working and doing their own thing. And Zoo has, you know, kind of been on the outs with Turkey. Obviously, Gervonta Davis on the outs with Turkey. Canelo Alvarez on the outs with Turkey. All those guys are with PBC. PBC seems like one of the last organizations. I understand they do stuff. They do work with Turkey. Like the Crawford card had a lot of PBC fighters on it. But it's not like a full-fledged partnership like we're seeing Matchroom and some of these others. But so it's nice to see, like, you know, there's plenty of people out there that don't want to see just Turkey take over the entire sport. They still want to see PBC be healthy, Top Rank be healthy, Matchroom and all of them. So it's intriguing from that side of things. We could see 5 big events from PBC. You could see my face on some PBC broadcasts. Who knows? That could be in the mix. Just throwing that out there.
We're going to get a lot of frequent flyer miles this year.
Oh my God. I just bought one of those. I don't know why I didn't buy this earlier. Like a Delta card.
Bro, you're just doing that now?
Bro, I'm just now running a media empire, okay? I'm a couple months in. And my brother was like, you're not getting any points on these flights. He's like, what are you, dumb? As we're at Peter Luger's steakhouse. Should we talk about that?
Hey, I like steak.
Peter Luger's for the second time in my life.
Nice.
First time was way long ago in like 2015. I didn't appreciate steak, or I wasn't old man Dan yet. I was just like invited there. This time I invited the baby brother. We had a nice dinner at Peter Luger Steakhouse in Williamsburg, yep. Brooklyn. What an establishment. What a place, Chris.
Great place. Last time I was there with Connolly. That was a couple years ago. I gotta make a – there's one on Long Island too.
The one on Long Island, I've heard, is not as good as
It's not as good. I've been to one on Long Island a handful of times. I've been to one, you know, over there in Brooklyn a bunch of times too. But it's not the same.
Steak for two, jumbo shrimp appetizer, Caesar salad, the big giant piece of bacon.
Mm-hmm.
We got cream spinach. We got these potatoes that were unbelievable. They were like mixed in with, they were like almost like home fries style.
Mm.
With like onions and oh man, what a meal!
I didn't eat breakfast yet. Now you're making me hungry. I gotta go work out first. Man, this guy.
Well, good. This episode is coming to a close because we're talking about steak and frequent flyer miles. But should be a fun one. Later on in the week, we'll be back with a preview of Diego Pacheco. He's getting in the ring at 168. We'll try to get a guest. I'm working on a guest for next week. We're getting to the dog days of summer. Once September rolls around. Nioa Inoue fights, Canelo Alvarez fights. There's a lot of fights in Anthony Joshua fights. I mean, boom. Those three names alone.
I think before, you know, we're in this little bit of a lull at the end of summer. I think we got to do a couple of these historical discussion pods. Oh, people love stuff. We haven't gotten historical in a while. But then
should we do that next?
We should
scrap the guest?
Let's do, you brought up that unification discussion. I think that's a great one. Because then
we'll do that for next episode. Three best unifications.
Guys at home, for a little inside boxing, inside baseball boxing. You know that term, inside baseball. Well, we are inside boxing. But yes, for the people listening at home, Dan will text me like, "Hey, I think you know we're gonna have a segment like this," and he'll bring up some, you know, the best unification fights of all time. He'll see some random winner. And then we just start to think, and I'm just like going through stuff and looking at videos and taking notes. And it gets very, very fun. So I think we got to do one of those. Because it's tough to throw that on as a segment because there's so many good fights and it'll take up so much time. We'll have a whole episode to that.
Yeah. You know what's sick about that is that came to me in a dream.
See that? Wow.
Someone asked me best unification fights, three best unification fights of all time. And in the dream, we were having discussions. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Ali, I was like Hagler Hearns.
Yeah.
I was like, did they have titles? Did they have what? And then whoever, I didn't even know who I was talking to because it was a dream. And then I was like, well, Ali Frazier. And then that's the type of dreams that I have. Most people dream about their ex-girlfriends or, you know, high school or some crazy moments. I'm dreaming about hypothetical unification fights for our podcast.
Dude, Leonard Hearns, Hagler Hearns, all of them, both those are unification fights. Hopkins, Trinidad. One that I think that you're going to miss was Chiquito Gonzalez and Michael Carbajal. That Jeez. Fight. The first one for
great fight.
Get it. I mean, that's got to be high on there too. I don't know. That's a good episode though.
I also think we should talk Mexican Puerto Rico. Yes. The best Mexican Puerto Rico fights.
Yep.
Because Canelo versus Berlanga is quickly approaching, and I
do
want to get
one first. Then actually,
yeah, Trinidad. Next episode we're going to talk Trinidad versus Vargas, which I watched on YouTube the other night, which was great.
I love that fight.
All right, everybody.
I hate that fight, but I love that fight.
Right. It was like a classic early 2000s, just HBO mega fight.
I hated Trinidad, man. I hated him. And then.
How he's the man.
I know, but I hated him. He beat all my guys. So, like, I hated him. I mean, you know, remember how it was. Like, literally, fighters were heroes. So, like,
yes.
When he beat De La Hoya, like, De La Hoya was my hero. Then he beat Vargas. Vargas, my hero. Like, he kept beating my guys. I love David Reed. He beat the hell out of David Reed. You know, it's like, so he kept beating all my guys, so I hated him. But then,
imagine Trinidad now.
And then he lost. I know. You forget how good he really was. Then he
imagine
lost,
him
and then I
now.
Came around. And I was like, you know what? This guy's awesome.
Yeah. Like, he would be an absolute megastar.
Awesome. Yeah, forget it. I mean, he would run marathons in between fights, so his conditioning was crazy. He would finish every fight strong. He had a great left hook, killer punch, good jab. He would always get dropped early on, so he was vulnerable. Like he was everything.
And he just like embodied Puerto Rico. Like when I was in Puerto Rico this year for Serrano, that Serrano fight that never happened, Jake Paul, and then Serrano had the hot eye injury. He showed up in the arena and people still went berserk.
Yep.
And then they had him in the ring to kind of, you know, stop a melee from happening once they announced that the Serrano fight wasn't going to happen. And he calmed everyone down in there. When he talks, people... they listen in Puerto
Rico.
He's
so different than Cotto, right? Like another.
Oh my God. Legend, yeah.
But they're just such different people. It's wild.
Big time. Yeah. All right. That's next episode. We just previewed next episode for you. I hope you have a great week. Enjoy it. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. Good night.
Feel the rush. Live thoroughbred racing is happening now at Laurel Park, the Players Track. Every Friday through Sunday, the gates open at 11 a.m. and the action starts at noon. Free admission, fast-paced racing, and real wagering excitement from start to finish. Pick your horses, place your bets, chase the win. From live racing and simulcast action to great food, special events, and nonstop sports viewing, Laurel Park is where the action lives. Come, win, play. Visit LaurelPark.com.